T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
Today's Friday.
On 670 The Score.
I have a feeling he's about to get on a real hot streak. This ball's hammered toward left center field. Fowler on the run, to the track, to the wall. How about that? First pitch home run for Freddie Freeman, his 8th of the year. He may have had the flu, but that ball flew a little further.
Oh, that's Freddie's power alley right there.
3-run night for Freddie. Josh Donaldson, the batter.
Wow. Those baseball broadcasters, they sure can turn a phrase, can't they?
It sounds like it's such a wonderful gig for you, but man, that's a tough go. I mean, you're doing a damn game every day of your life. Pre-game, post-game, you know, and the game itself, and you're trying to make it interesting, trying to make it fun, trying to bring something else new to the party.
Yeah.
That's not my idea of great fun.
Well, baseball sets itself up for a slow, relaxed pace, though, to a degree.
They do.
I enjoy Cubs television with Len Casper.
Oh,
I spend a lot of
yeah.
time with that crew, and
yeah.
I noticed something the other night with his analyst, Jim Deshaies, who has several years remaining on his deal in the Cubs booth. And I talked to Jim about this a year or so ago, mm-hmm. and I think he's reluctant because of his – I think he thinks he's older, and he is, compared to Shep or compared to Tanny. I think Jim and I were born a year or two apart. He's reluctant to pull the trigger on pop culture references he thinks are dated. I say go for it. You know, because what we're told about baseball viewing audiences, the kids aren't watching anyway. So if you want to reference Harry Chapin's Cats in the Cradle Wednesday night, feel free to, which he did. He referenced it and then kind of pushed past it real quickly. I don't know if Len didn't pick up on it or didn't want to pick up on it because of the absence of hipness. I'm not sure. But he said something about, I don't remember exactly what they were talking about, but Deshaies says, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay from the chorus of Cats in the Cradle. And I sent Jim a text like, hey, Harry Chapin, keep it coming. He said, glad someone caught it. Don't back off of that stuff, man. Own it. There's a lot of us who remember. And for those who don't, hell with them. You know, you don't remember everything.
I'm not sure. Do you know, are millennials a big baseball audience? Are they a big part of this for the Cubs? I'm not sure how their audience breaks down. I haven't seen the breakdown.
Shep, your generation, dude.
I think Tandy and I are the exception. Watch a lot, whether it's our team involved or if it's out-of-town baseball. I think we watch a lot of it, but I know when I talk to my friends, I might check out a little bit of a national game here or there, but you're not sticking around for more than a couple innings, or you're not sticking around for more than a segment or two or whatever show's on. If it's baseball tonight, whatever the Fox one is. I don't think that our generation sits down and is like, I have to seek out 9 innings tonight.
Yeah, Shep, how hard is it if you have like a pair of Cubs tickets, pair of Sox tickets, to find someone that doesn't work here that would like to go to a baseball game and sit there for 3 hours?
And doesn't have a dozen excuses of,
right.
Oh, yeah, it's
I wonder, and we'll keep that, too, regarding millennials and whether they're watching baseball. That's definitely worth taking it in a more further direction, but I think that's representative of a lot of people. I look at ballparks all over the league, and a lot of them are empty. Wrigley's an exception.
Yeah.
Cincinnati. I mean, there was nobody there those 3 games. And the
Miami,
Cubs draw okay.
Tampa.
Oh, God, yeah. Empty stadium. Stadia all over the country.
Yeah.
My guys, it's funny. No, this is the White Sox. So take it. No upfront that it's the White Sox. My buddy Vans, season ticket holder, 3 weeks ago sends a 9-man team a text hoping he can find 3 takers to share to help subsidize his season pack. He's got 4 really good seats in 129, right behind the plate, 21, 22 rows back to great seats. He sent 9 of us a text. In less than 30 minutes, and the first six or seven came back within 5 minutes, the rejection letters and the variety of excuses. Oh, my goodness. Some guy who didn't have kids had to watch kids.
I mean, well, you two guys, then do outdated pop culture references bother you?
I would have gotten Captain
the show
Cradle.
Bothers you.
You would have gotten that?
Yeah, I don't remember that from that broadcast, but yeah, I would have gotten that. But then again, you know, we're kind of the exception to the rule.
Because you're smart.
Exactly.
Well.
Yeah.
Can't sue you for slander.
Yeah, my millennials are baseball fans. They're Sox fans, too. So, I mean, that you can't help them.
Mine aren't. They won't watch on television. They'll go to a ball game a couple times. The atmosphere is okay. The food's real good. But I agree with what Bernstein said the other day. Every year, the Sox Park gets better and better with food and with beverage. They do everything they can for their 11,500 average customers. They do.
Unfortunately,
and I'm okay with that, by the
game.
Way. I'm not complaining about it. There couldn't have been more than 7,000 people there Monday night. I don't care. I don't care. I've accepted it. When they're good, when they're really good again, there'll be 25,000 people there. And then when they're a World Series contender, tickets will be hard to find. But you'll
the following
get
year.
You got a lot of faith in the rebuild. Okay. What?
While the Cubs were dropping their first series in 11 series, the White Sox were winning last night. But, Tanny, you're glad they won. But
of course,
You're not a fan of the bunt when it involves Yoan Moncada. you went quickly to sour face after the Sox win came up today.
You got a rally going, and just in general in today's game, and I'm not a big numbers guy, and but I understand the value of outs, and you don't want to see what is arguably your best hitter on your team bunting, especially like when you have a team that's they're literally trying to give you the game, and you want to give them more outs, like you know the sacred commodities. Outs and you want to give it to him with you know your best hitter. I don't like that, but you know that's just me. I'm not a baseball manager.
I'm not a fan of him necessarily doing it, but the guy who's the outfielder,
Ryan Cordell.
Yeah, Cordell.
If you can get it down, hey, great. But I've seen too many hitters in a White Sox uniform over my lifetime who can't get it down, and they've shown a track record of not being able to get it down. Yet we keep asking them to try and get one down.
Right,
and then a suicide squeeze at that.
See, you're making the old timers crazy because they can't believe bunts not part of their game anymore.
Look,
it's just not.
Look, I would, you know, I totally get it. Like you're starting to see now more of it where they have the shift on. You're starting to see guys hit it the other way where there's no one standing there. And I like that. I think that's perfectly viable argument with when the old timers say, "Hey, they should be able to hit that ball where no one's standing." I was like, "Yeah, I agree with you actually." But you know, you're starting to see that come back a little more. But in general, giving a team outs, that's I'm cool with that, especially with your best hitter.
And you look at the other aspect too. You just talk about speed of a guy. And now speed used to be something that was really important to baseball. Fast, steal bases, yeah, he can do all that. Now, who cares? Okay, he's fast? Yes, faster than hell. Okay, what else can he do? Anything else he can do?
You know, when you're not hitting well, when, you know, situations, something, cold weather, there are times when bunting makes sense. But
yeah, Sometimes.
And I love the shift. I always have been entertained by the shift. I kind of giggle at all the outrage against it. Look, you know, I am that guy saying if you don't like, you know.
You were probably watching Cubs, but they had Pat Fitzgerald in the Sox booth. It was Northwestern night last night. And
I saw him stuffed in that black Sox jersey. Yeah.
And as he was saying, he's like, yeah, I'm not a big fan of the shift. And the Stoney, you know, eloquently points out, well, the shift's been around since Ted Williams. So if you don't like it, I don't think it's going anywhere.
It's really sophisticated now, though. I mean, it has so many. Yeah.
But guys are finally showing a willingness to just shorten up and punch it down. You want to play your third baseman at shortstop, I'll just punch it 50 feet down toward the bag at third, and I'll call it a single. Schwarber does it. Rizzo's back in the lineup tonight, Cubs fans. Be happy about that. Shep was concerned. Yeah, and with reason.
Well, I mean,
he's a big man. And big men who are in their 30s with back issues, like you said earlier, don't.
29, 30-year-old guys that weigh 220, 230. Tell me whose back gets better with that age. Like, tell me the guy who's like, yep.
Terry, you got a guy?
Nope. Not a guy.
Maybe the bartender who tipped you on Kevin Spacey?
My guy. What am I, any guys? You know what I am? I'm just a guy people want to talk to. Even though you knew, he didn't know me from Adam. I didn't know the guy. It's the first time I'd ever been in there. I had dinner with Drew Hayes. I needed to withdraw. I needed cone over my head just to be quiet for a second. That guy, because he could talk all the time, he's eating a 24-ounce steak. You know, I mean, sparks are flying. He's still eating while he's talking. And holy God, give me a rest. I wonder if I had a drink. And they're running, this guy wants to talk. I can't get it. But no, I mean, if you're a baseball fan my age, it really does take some getting used to how all this has changed over the years. But I don't mind it. I don't care. I mean, that's what the numbers say. I get it. I understand.
I watched the last half an hour of Moneyball the other night because it was on. And I didn't like it the first time through, but I've seen it three or four times since. And I'm crazy about it. I think it's terrific.
I've only seen it the one time. I remember going to the theater and seeing it, and maybe I should give it another spin. I mean, I know you're a big-time Philip Seymour Hoffman guy, so I imagine that's what keeps bringing you back to that one.
Yeah, and it's not his best role as the no, surly Art Howe.
The Mount Rushmore of Philip Seymour Hoffman. The Philip Seymour Hoffman draft, that's not going to be a first-round selection.
That might be his only miss. And honestly, Sherry and I were talking about that the other day. Philip Seymour Hoffman, because I love him in Charlie Wilson's War. I love him in Ides of March. I love him in Almost Famous. Everything.
I love 25th Hour. He's great.
And then there's Art Howe.
He did have some great lines, though.
Hattie, get a bat.
You know, it's funny because so much of this resentment, aside from the way the game is played and the way it gets him, so much of this resentment is the guys who are actually running the computer and doing all this. You know what I mean? So much of I hate it when old guys kick back at that stuff. I mean, if you want to find something else to pick, go find something else. Don't yell at the young guys or where baseball is headed, where any sport is headed. Don't be that. We don't be that old idiot.
Resistant to change.
Yeah. Well, don't be so stupid. I mean, it's okay. If you want to read all the numbers, I like it when the numbers lose once in a while, but I also understand them and how it's changed everything.
It's that they've been doing this for a couple of decades now. Yeah, and it's, you know, for amazing. A while it was sort of a secretive thing. Teams were doing it, but there wasn't a lot of chatter about it. I think it's absolutely essential for what they do. I'm glad they've been doing it. I don't particularly find it to be compelling.
No.
Analyzing a lot of that stuff. And there's a lot of the language I don't understand, nor do I have a desire to learn it, frankly. But yes, use it to your advantage. Yeah. And one of those old guys.
Because if they don't, they're sure as hell going to use it against you. I mean, you're not going to get away from it.
When we were doing the show together years ago, did we have, I think we had from time to time a relationship with Bill Melton.
Yeah.
I thought so, mm-hmm. but I got to know him a lot better in this century, and we had him on the show a month or so ago, and it really bothered me. The interview upset me. It's the only thing that's upset me, I think, in the 14 months I've been back here. Well, there probably would be another item or two, I'm sure.
Coffee break. Wait a minute here. Who are you crapping through in my head?
Yes, Shep not having a passion for my caffeine addiction, that's 1A. But... because he was a childhood hero. And I, you know, getting to know him, Bill Melton. And I wore 14 in Little League because of that dude. And getting to know him over the years and having him be kind of a bud and a colleague, a teammate for a few years when the Sox were on up the dial. And he was so surly and so get off my lawn about phrases like launch angle and exit velocity. I thought a few minutes into our interview with him, that NBC Sports had let him go. I honestly thought that he was done with White Sox. It sounded to me, I don't know if you guys got a different read on it, because he started to talk about producers and the language they use, and he tells them to go to hell. It's a two-run homer. I don't need to know it's launching.
Yeah, it was just before the season had started and just before they rolled out, you know, Ozzy and Frank, and we were like, maybe we came in on the tail end of something. But Melty's back. I see him there, you know, on occasional Sunday. He's there. So, you know, we all had that feeling. It was definitely odder than we've heard Melty in recent years.
It was really weird. I'm just like, no. I mean, it's not like the Sox are steeped with guests who are, you know, not a ton of Sox. I said, papers don't even assign a beat guy to him, you know?
He'd be very disappointed. No, I talk a lot of Shagel with my grandkids. I do. I mean, it's... it's the dumbest thing ever, but I do.
Yeah. Well,
I watch very carefully.
It's not going anywhere, as it's been said. And it's not new. It's just been given a phrase in the last few years.
Yes, and I discuss it. I have no look, if you have a mind that you want to do this game and learn this game and be good at this game, all of these things you have to incorporate. We're old enough. If you want to, you can turn your back on it. Okay, forget it. I'm not interested. Well, I am interested. Right. I am interested. So I do keep a close eye on all of it. Could I run those? No, I couldn't run those numbers, but I can look at them and see who's doing what. And Chris Bryant's dad was a big help with how he taught him to hit, you know, the Ted Williams thing. So, I mean, no, there's, just keep your ears open, keep your eyes open, and listen a little bit. See, just watch it before you start judging, well, I don't like this crap anymore. What are they doing? What's this? What's that? I mean, no bunting, no running. What? What happened? It's okay. It's okay. I mean, a lot of people still find the game boring. And despite all the home runs, they still think it's a boring product. I mean, I understand that too.
I just want pitchers to pitch. Don't stand there and stare at fingers for 30 seconds. Throw the effing baseball.
Or jot that down.
Ronaldo.
Throw the effing baseball.
Guy gives up two hits.
Okay.
Guy gives up two hits and walks two guys, goes 7 2/3, Sockos punch out the Indians, and I drive home saying, throw the damn ball.
I still don't understand why you're upset, because the game was still over before 10, so it couldn't have been that bad.
I know, you're right. I was cold, remember?
Four home runs, yeah. And you better get an extra cup of coffee on Monday, because, you know, that's the game plan with Darvish now. Is like, he's going to take his time. That's where he's most comfortable, a minute between pitches. So get ready for that Monday night.
That pitch clock is just a waste of electricity. They never enforce it. They turn it off after a few innings. Hell with it. We're just burning.
When they introduced it a couple years ago in spring training, I went to a spring training game and they had the thing running. Nobody paid a bit of attention to it. They made a big deal. Well, the clock's running now, guys. They didn't even look at the thing. Then there's a single pitcher that came out there, whether it was major league or some minor league. He didn't look at it at all. He didn't give a rat's ass. He'll throw the ball when he's ready.
He's Terry Bors. He's in for Danny Parkins. Almost forgot his name. He's in for who? We're here until 5:30. On Monday, Spiegel is going to sit in with me. Tuesday, Teddy Greenstein from the Tribune will be with me. Shep will ride with me on Wednesday. Danny Plesac regretfully had to reschedule. Harold Reynolds at MLB Network is ill today, so Plesac has double duty. He had to apologize. I have no idea if it was bad pie that caused Reynolds to need a day off, but
going around.
That's one of Terry's favorite
Jordanisms.
I hear
it can get you in trouble. Yeah,
bad pie in Utah.
I keep a close eye on that.
But anyway, so no sack today. You want to jump in? 3-1, Dave, please sack. 312-644-6767, the telephone number. Texters, keep them coming at 670-11. Our text line brought to you by MegaPros. Repair, remodel, renovate, megapros.com. You're listening to The Score.
It's always nice to have solid leather behind you.
Boy, I'll say it.
Yeah, spank me!
I second that emotion.
There was some leather being thrown last night around the bigs. Oh, yeah. Pat Hughes at a Judas Priest concert with all that leather behind him. Can you imagine that?
Different.
You know, so many fine
here's
songs.
The bottom line. You know,
living
when you
after
watch,
midnight.
When you watch a baseball game, whether you're a Chicago fan, I don't care where you're from. But you have to understand, after the game, if you want to stick around and watch, I particularly don't really do that anywhere. I mean, I really, you know, time to move on. There's another game, something else to do. But that guy you have on after has to be reflective of what the game is being played. Not used to being played, not years ago. None of that. Right up with the timing of what's going on right now. Nothing else. Nothing. No moaning, no complaining. Just do the game. Be up with everything that you have to be up with. Talk about that game. Don't talk about, oh, my God, what have they done? None of that. Just have somebody sitting there. That's your responsibility if you're running a team. To make sure that person sits there, understands what the hell's going on, and can discuss it like so many people do now. Maybe a different discussion. Maybe not be the discussion you want. Maybe it's not the discussion that makes you happy. Maybe you don't want to listen. That's okay. It's okay. But you don't want to hear anything else. You don't hear about some imaginary game you're still playing in your head. You know what I mean? It's not the 1990 World Series anymore. It's not that. They're not doing that anymore. Just be up. You owe it to your fan base to have somebody there who's absolutely contemporary, gets every bit of it.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves have advanced to the Western Conference Finals against San Diego. Catch game one tonight. Game two is tomorrow at 7 at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at $15. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for playoff and ticket information. I don't know if you've ever given any thought to a Mount Rushmore of score callers over the years.
No, you're the Mount guy.
Well, I just the absence so of callers these days.
you're the Mount man. I'm not. I guess I am. I'm not the Mount man.
Nothing sparks a conversation better than a list, right?
That's right.
Meathead, do some work. Let's do a list. Oak Park Vandy would be one of the first names mm-hmm. that comes to mind for Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
What about Stan from Bellwood?
Absolutely.
You would put him on our Mount
Calmar? I would put him right on top of Vandy.
Mount Calmar? You know what? Vandy'd like that, I bet. he just would wonder. He just would say, what do you mean the reason I called? You've been on top of me for 5 minutes.
Hello, Stan.
Dan and Mac, where you been?
Hey, I've been right here.
He's always here. Well.
Oh, boy. The heavy fuel crew resuscitated. I love it.
I had to be resuscitated actually to get here. That's true.
I know. That's why I said it.
He's still young and vibrant.
Hardly either. But anyway, good to hear from you, Stan. It's good to have Terry here for a few days, isn't it?
How about it? Terry, you sound great, my man. Never better.
Oh, I don't know about that. If I was never any better than this, then I really sucked. Which I kind of think I did anyway.
Well, you're not a young man anymore, Terry.
No, I'm not. I'm certainly not. And not getting any younger.
Stan, 69 in September.
Yeah, I am learning my baseball lessons as we go along, though. I'm not living in the past. It's for cowards and losers.
Oh, boy. Hey, I'm particularly enjoying the stroll down memory lane today. Bernstein, Judd Zerrod, my guy, that's a voice I haven't heard in a long time, brought back some terrific memories. But I've been listening most of the afternoon, and one thing really resonated today, and that's when you guys invoked the name of my hero, Neil from Northlake. He's one of the reasons that I'm a scorehead today.
Yeah, you hated Ditka.
Oh, my God. And I hate him. I despise him as much today as I ever did, too, even though he's been lying relatively
long. That's why Stan's my guy.
But in all my years as a scorehead and all the remotes that I attended back in the day, the one big regret that I have is that I never had the opportunity to shake Neil from Northlake's hand and buy him a drink. Because that call was one of the great highlights of my life. And if I ever do have the opportunity, his money is absolutely no good. The offer is still open. I'm buying all night.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome, Stan.
You know, I love you, Stan. I think that when you think about that call, he's absolutely right. That is, now you talk about your lists.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a Mount Rushmore of any. I'll put that up against any call, anybody, any sports show in the country.
Number
that's
one.
That's had that kind of from a figure as large as Mike Ditka.
Yeah. What was it? Do you remember what the question was? He accused him of being a baby, and
he was crying and complaining about some incident or something.
Right.
I wish I knew the specifics, but it has something to do.
That's right.
With Ditka bitching and moaning about something and not letting it go.
Right. I'll tell you what, Neil. I'm 52 years old. Not old. Old. Like Old Dominion. And I work at 250 North Washington. You meet me anytime, when, pal, and I'll whip your ass. Oh, my goodness, Radio Gold. Thank you, Coach. That was the best money the score ever spent. Whatever they spent for Ditka, which was probably out of the budget.
Put us on the map.
In 92.
That was your guy. And we were the only one he was talking to.
That's
cut
right.
Everybody out of the picture.
Yeah.
And then he does that. That is that Mount Rushmore of any sports show in the country.
My vote.
Yeah.
Hey, one quick baseball thought. Yeah. I know you guys have got people lined up to chat with you. But you were talking about Joe Girardi earlier and wondering why he hasn't been snapped up yet. I've been thinking the same thing. I actually think that he'd be perfect for that Nationals job more than any other that's probably going to open up here soon. But I know Girardi, obviously, you know, from all those years that he spent in New York. I mean, he'd be tough to sign. He's going to be looking for a ton of money. But the
that
reason
is.
That the Yankees soured on him, though, Terry, was I believe it was because he wasn't warm and fuzzy enough. The Yankees roster was getting progressively younger. A lot of their top prospects were making their way up and progressing and succeeding at the major league level, and they were getting younger and younger. And the concern, Brian Cashman's concern, was that Girardi was having trouble connecting with players like Sanchez and Severino and all the guys that they were bringing up.
So they decided
to make a change because he couldn't relate to the younger guys. And I'm wondering if maybe that's working against him now.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, they're you know, you're never really sure, Stan. Sometimes we know that came out about that part of it. You're never really sure. All I know is you're hiring a bunch of guys that I don't know could manage a
fruit stand.
Yeah,
use Tom Pachoric's phrase on Tony La Russa.
I'm not calling them bad. I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Joe Kent and Stan's right. There are shortcomings there, but I would think after a while that would sink in a little bit. You're dealing with younger guy. You're not dealing with the veteran player, and you're not dealing with that anymore. You got to change your ways a little bit.
Stan was describing exactly what Joe Maddon spent the offseason figuring out.
Studying the millennial concept.
The
millennial concept.
They're not an age group. They're a concept.
Exactly.
Stan, always good to hear from you. Thank you for calling.
Sure,
yeah, he's enjoying memory lane. Jonathan Hood sent me a text a little while ago. He wants to know what time Howard David is joining us today. The former voice of Monday Night Football on Westwood
One. Always a delight.
Yes.
Howard David.
He's still working, isn't he?
I think he is.
I think he's – does he do the Brooklyn Nets? Howard David?
Somebody ought to.
I thought he was doing the Nets. The reason I lost touch with him.
Well,
they
everybody
moved
has.
To Brooklyn? When did they move to Brooklyn?
Everybody has.
I'm still not over the Sonics leaving the Emerald City. Are you kidding?
Neither Seattle.
But I don't. Do they miss it?
Oh, they do.
Do they really?
They do. Big time.
No kidding.
Big time, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't quite understand it, but I understand. You know, when I look at some of the markets and where teams are these days, I'm thinking, really? You'd leave the Seattle? Yeah, it's not Los Angeles. It's not, you know, Chicago. It's not New York. It's not Boston. But still, I mean, they love that team. Love that team.
Yeah.
And yeah, and where
that was
go?
A good team. It's a team that won some championships, and it was before the Seahawks ever contended for anything. They didn't get to their first game with Roman numerals on it until 0-6 in Detroit when they lost to the Steelers. And they've been there a couple times since.
Yep.
1-2 in 3 Super Bowls, but they'd never won anything. So, yeah, the Sonics had to be good.
Yeah, Sonics, very entertaining teams. Not always, but enough. I mean,
it's a great city. It is a great big city in America and should have an NBA team. We have found it. Tanny's the digger. We've lost a lot of our gold over the years at the radio station, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
We do have the legendary Neil from Northlake. Tom Scher was hosting that afternoon out at the hot dog stand on Bryn Mawr, where what Ditka called a steakhouse. Anyway, the time, hot dogs were terrific there. So let's revisit from the coach's final year as Bears headmaster in 92.
Instead of getting mad at the way his team played, why did, during the press conference, why did it appear that Mike was holding back, trying not to cry like the baby that he is?
Well, Neil, I tell you what you are, I can't say on the air. But I tell you what, I'm 53 years old, and I my office is at 250 North Washington. Anytime you want to meet me there, you call me back on the air. You tell me what time and when, and I'll whip your ass.
And all
top that anybody.
All of the meatballs in the bad.
Oh yeah,
80s
oh,
sweaters
they were there.
With
oh.
costume jewelry, V-neck
oh.
sweaters with.
Oh, the mustaches, the whole
the cast whole thing from going a Bronx on. Tale
oh,
was there.
Yeah, the whole thing was
Zubaz
going on.
Zubaz is flailing all around.
They've got your Zubaz still at that golf course, by the way. I don't care. New York, any market, you match that.
When has an NFL head coach ever done something that bombastic? Challenging a listener to a, yeah, we got to grab that. That was just absolutely accidental. I thought we were in a saloon for a second. Wow. Wow. the baby that he is.
We're going to take a timeout. Those are holding hang in there. If you want to jump in, there's a couple lines open for you. 312-644-6767.
Tom Scher.
Oh, it's Tom Scher. Tom Scher. Okay, I thought that was just put up to say he was hosting. I didn't know Tom was on the phone. Hawaiian, my brother. How are you,
Hawaiian,
Tom?
I don't want to make you late for the break, though. Mitch will kill me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he won't.
Broadcast
you're fine.
Discipline.
You're fine.
That was a crazy day. Terry, good to hear you, man. You sound terrific, both
oh,
you guys.
That's not true, but he sounds terrific. He's much younger.
What?
Not
what
better
people,
looking, though.
Back a lot. Back then, they used to rotate us. Each week, one of us would host the show. One week it would be you guys. Another week it would be Jiggets and North. Another week it would be me. And we rotated to give everybody an exposure on what was the biggest show we had in that first year, the Ditka Show. And it just so happened that was my week to host it. And, Terry, you know the guy's first name. I can't recall. Writer for the Washington Post, sports writer, last name Shapiro. Is it Len Shapiro?
Yeah.
Okay. He comes into town to do a story on the demise of Mike Ditka. And he's saying to me before that.
I love it already.
The same year, Ditka had tried to go into the stands down in Tampa after a fan. And we had the only video on Channel 5 of that. So I'm telling you, it was crazy. So Shapiro comes in, and he says, yeah, you guys got Terry Bores and Hanley, these sports writers. I listened a little bit, but, you know, there's no internet back then. So what's it been like with Ditka? And I said, well, you know, it's been a bad year. And, you know, and I decide not to pile on Mike, and I'm just going to say to Shapiro, put a good face on it. But he's been pretty solid. He hasn't been too far out there. Sure enough, there's Shapiro sitting in the audience at Ditka's restaurant at the show when Neil from North Lake calls, and it was off to the races.
Perfect.
I compare with anything that's ever happened on any all-sports station in the country. There are a few moments that are, I mean, gold. Are completely out of left field. I mean, Neil North, most harmless-looking man I've ever seen in my life, or at least in the top 10. Ditka goes off on him.
And Mac was right. I can't recall a coach or manager, anybody doing that before. And you guys are also right. That was a big deal for us to have the Ditka Show. We out hustled WGN and 1000. We're trying to get the show. Ditka had been on GN before, the incumbents, and we out hustled them. Danny Lee and Seth Mason cut the deal, and boom, he's on our station.
Yeah, it helped out enormously. Tom, thanks a bunch for the clarification. I wish we had more time, honestly.
No, it was plenty of time. You got a lot of listeners to get in. It was good to hear Stan, too.
And thank you for the article you sent me, too, about the early days of the Score when Kopic tried to submarine us. That was that was Tom's reaction to Chet's passing, sending me an article when Chet tried to throw us all under the bus. And I'm like, you know what? Kopic can appreciate that.
Now, Terry.
Yeah, I'm not. I've said nothing to anybody. I'm a mute.
No,
well, I will only say that Chet was a hard guy to stay mad at. He had quite a personality.
Atta boy.
Atta way, Tom. That's why you're a pro's pro. A man's man.
24 second shot clock has expired.
Okay, guys.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom on. That's perfect. I jiggled him. Let's try Jack and LaPorte. Jack not with us just yet. Where'd Jack go? We got to take a timeout. It's McNeil and Bores together on the Score.
Get it. Go watch the White Sox or the Cubs. And what
no,
the
please.
Or the Blackhawks.
No, please. Let's not. The Bears are the team in this town, and the fans love the Bears. And when they see the team not perform.
But where does it say Bears fans must be jerks? Where is that written? Jerkos.
They're not being jerks. What they're being, they
being
just want
jerks.
That's what makes the game. You can discuss the game during the week.
They're being
go
jerks.
Back and, why? Because they disagree with.
Because
something.
Every time you say, how's Marcus Paul playing? They say terrible. How's Richard?
One guy
playing? Terrible.
Said it. Don't.
How's this guy playing terrible? How's Trace Armstrong terrible? How's Jim Harbaugh playing terrible?
There's nothing wrong with fans actually being aggravated if a team like you played against New York. You
and you're exactly right. And there's nothing the matter with me being aggravated either. That's part of life, and I am aggravated.
Blood on the streets, the town of Chicago. Wow. Pappy going at it with North. That's outstanding. Nice find. We have we've not lost all of our gold. One of the worst things we've done at a radio station, Terry, is
you
not protect
kidding.
All of the stuff from the archives.
Thank God Neil from North Lake was there, though.
Stern did it right, and so did Dahl. They recorded on beta, and it is there forever and sounds great. PGA Championship coverage on The Score brought to you by the Grand Geneva Resort and Spa, home of the Brute and Highlands Championship Golf Courses. Visit GrandGeneva.com. I'm sorry, GrandGenevaGolf.com. After shooting a 63 yesterday, Brooks Koepka is 3-under through 14. He's 10-under for the championship, 5 strokes better than Jordan Spieth, who shot a 66 today. He's 5 back. Adam Scott also 5 back. He's still on the course, as are several other players. Daniel Berger, 4 back. Dustin Johnson is 4-under. Matt Wallace and Luke Licht. Also,
I'll keep him in mind.
4-under.
Brooks Koepka, like I told you yesterday, before I even knew the score, my golfing guy.
Yeah, you did say that.
Yes.
Yeah, good for you. You got a golf guy.
I got a golf guy.
You got guys.
I got people. Yeah. Maybe he's got Kevin Spacey stories for me.
I am going to need some help from the other side, potentially, and maybe from you in a little bit. We need to do an intervention with my stepbrothers and my stepmom about getting technology friendly and jumping into the 21st century. I want to do that before we get out of here at 5:30, but I want to do some more baseball as well. We're building you a bridge to the Cubs and Washington Nationals. Should be a good one tonight. Terry is a huge fan of the Doors. And yes, that was a Doors reference, listener. So let's give you some from Morrison Hotel. It's Peace Frog on a Feel Good Friday on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Dead blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles. Feet blood in the streets, it's up to my knee. Feet blood in the street, the town of Chicago. Feet blood on the rise, it's following me. In about to break the day. She came and then she drove away. Sunlight in her hair. Feet blood in the streets on the river of sadness. Feet blood in the streets, it's up to my thigh.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.